I'm blessed and grateful to be back with you. I went to Costa Rica. I brought back the butterfly. You see the... They have exquisite butterflies there, and so we got to go see those, and we did the zip line, you know, that crazy, yeah, right on, yeah. This time, two years ago when I did it, I went kicking and screaming, literally. It was so embarrassing, and I was so glad I was all by myself. I was all by myself with two great big guys, and it took both of them to get me through that experience. It was. Yeah, I have a video. It's not pretty. Yeah. But it was extraordinary, because what happened was, the first time I did it, I broke through a fear of mine, which is heights and, you know, being up there on a wire. And it wasn't till about halfway through those 12 platforms that I actually began to relax and enjoy myself. Before that, it was pure hell, actually, because of the suffering comes from what?
Fear.
Fear and resisting, yeah. Right? If I would just be with it, that's what they kept telling me. Just breathe, Denise, and just let go. Just enjoy the ride. And anyway, once I did that, it was an amazing experience. So here's the good news. This time, the very first one, I enjoyed myself. So there's something too, physically breaking through those barriers, that tells the self, nothing can keep me from my good, not even my own fear, right? And usually that's the biggest one that keeps us from really being an expression. So I conquered that, and then I got to watch my husband be the little one scared and screaming, you know. And, Yeah. Yeah, it's a video. We're going to charge for that one, I think. Yeah. Anyway, I'm glad to be back with you. It's been a very full week. As soon as I got off the plane on Sunday night, Gregory was probably leaving. I was arriving, and so was Unity Worldwide Ministries, who arrived here last Sunday night. And we had a fabulous week, didn't we, Reverend Sheila? And the ministerial team from Unity Worldwide was here. John, the staff, did an amazing job. Jack was here for the whole week, and we worked our tails off, but we loved every minute of it. And I'm hoping you could feel the great energy here that just came from just dipping our tea bags into truth and being with these great people. So I'm inspired and grateful to be with my colleagues and to have hosted it here at Unity of Walnut Creek. So we are so well known and famous now. I mean, not that we weren't already, but, you know, more famous. So the other thing we're celebrating is the season of nonviolence. Many of you, I think I mentioned this a few weeks ago, are familiar with that. How many of you are familiar with the season of nonviolence? Oh, good. At least half of you. Fabulous. So this has been around for 20 years. This is the 20-year anniversary for the season of nonviolence. And it is the commemorative dates of January 30th to April 4th. So these are the dates of the assassination of Gandhi and Martin Luther King, who were these fabulous spiritual leaders who taught us how to be in the world in a nonviolent way. So all of these practices and principles in this 64 days, there's a little practice every day, and you'll get one of these on your way out should you choose to receive that. But it's talking about transformation, and we do that one breath, one moment, one day at a time, and we need a practice to do that. So there's simple practices, but we also want to cultivate principles of which we stand by and with. So nonviolence means honoring the dignity and inherent worth of every human being. Nonviolence means believing that our lives are linked together, that what we do impacts the lives of other people. Therefore, we are responsible to and for one another. Nonviolence means dedicating ourselves to guaranteeing the fundamental rights of every human being, not just ones we like, with justice and equality. It means using our talents to empower others as well as ourselves. Nonviolence is courageously choosing to practice compassion with our apparent adversaries. Adversaries. Thank you. Got to put the emphasis on the right syllables. Yeah. So that's what I'm about. So the class I'm teaching is about compassionate connections. And today's lesson in here is about education. Today we're supposed to stand and learn about a power of nonviolence by educating yourself. There's a beautiful mandala online, and that online number is on that brochure in there, and that's to AGENT, the Association of Global New Thought, who is the co-founder of this season of nonviolence. And you can roam around the website and find this beautiful mandala. It plays music. You link on today, and it gives you this beautiful idea of how to be in the world in a nonviolent way. So today's education, and the quote is from Maria Montessori. Yeah, a beautiful teacher of peace. Establishing lasting peace is the work of education. All politics can do is keep us out of war. And the affirmation is, one who has been educated well has not only acquired knowledge and the ability to reason, but has learned to listen and to seek understanding, has learned that character matters. So today, I know that education is peace building by another name. So that's what I'm about. I'm about building bridges of understanding. I'm about building, creating paths to peace. And so I hope you'll join me on Tuesdays. I also had the privilege of joining with the Islamic Center and standing with our Muslim brothers and sisters in solidarity on Friday. And many of you were there joining in that idea as well. Yeah. So I got invited by some of you, and I was delighted to be there. And so I sent them a letter to... I wanted them to know that we would have a presence there so that they would know who we are. And I said, in our efforts to build a culture of peace in our own community and the world, we would be honored to join you tomorrow in standing together for the ring of solidarity. It's so important to us that every human being is treated with dignity and respect, and that our religious freedoms are protected and honored. We believe that there is one God that honors all, because unity honors the many names for God, the many paths to God, and the many ways to worship God. For there is only one power and one presence, and that God loves each of us equally. So I just wanted you to know that that's sort of how we're showing up in the world, and it does my heart good. And I when we gathered here with Unity Worldwide, there was a profound shift in how we want to be in the world and to stand for what we believe in and to be present on events like this to say what our values are and how we want the world to be. So I'm excited. Are you? Yeah. To be in a movement that's, you know, willing to sort of take a stand about how we should be in the world. So, and I think Mother Teresa said that so well, you know, that I probably won't come to a war rally, but if you're standing for something like peace, then I'll be there, right? And that's what we were doing. We were standing for what we believe in. So this week, I just sort of wanted to talk to you a little bit about joy. And how many of you are experiencing joy as much as possible right now? All the joy in your life. Everybody? Good. Good. Okay, good. Is there room for a little bit more?
Yes.
Absolutely. Yes. So he's got both hands up over here. Mario, yeah. That's right. Big thumbs up, because, you know, you have to sort of work at it, don't you? Everything else seems to sort of want to get there in its way, you know, like, oh no, I want to show you, you know, how horrible the world is. Oh no, let me show you how this is against you, and let me show you how terrible your neighbor is and what they did and how that dog just pooped on your yard. And, you know, I have to tell you, I called my 33-year-old son, I won't name him, but Bless his heart, you know how when you're in that space where everything's going wrong and that's all you could see is everything that's going wrong, and I did everything I could to just be a voice of compassion and empathy, right? Oh, wow, okay, so that's, and then it had to do with somebody, he lives in a little apartment in Santa Rosa, and the tenants, he's a live-in property manager, you know, and that's just one of his many things, along with two small children and two jobs, you know, and blah, blah, blah. And so he was just kvetching into, life is just not working, mother. And I'll tell you, they're showing up at their door and they're complaining about dog poop. And I really just don't care, you know. So, sometimes you just have to sort of let it out, right? And so I was just an ear for him. I was just listening and not making him wrong for feeling the way he was feeling, which was frustrated, upset, and hopeless. So I named those things, you know, and I think once I heard him and once I reflected back what he might be needing, you know, would be, I'd like it to be my turn, you know, that one, you know, like things are going so wrong, I'd just like a little break. You know, so could I just see some support, God, that, you know, that you're actually there and part of supporting me. So we began to name those. And by the time we ended the conversation, you know, he was feeling better. Nothing had changed in his world. You know, the dog had still pooped on their yard, you know, and, you know, the car had broken down and the baby was not sleeping and, you know, on and on the list goes. But I think once he sort of wound down, he began to give thanks, you know, for his own health. He began to give thanks for his wife, who is a strong supporter for him. And so it's important that we have friends and family that are sort of willing to sort of support us into knowing who we are. But sometimes that takes a little time, yes? So that's that compassionate ear of, you know, spending a few moments of just being with someone and not having to fix them. Isn't that a blessing? Yeah. But it did, as a mother, it's sort of hard to hear how your children are suffering or struggling. Yes? So every part of me had an answer to every part of his dilemmas, right? So I had to, you know, withhold those suggestions and just be present. Because you know what, if we don't see that they have their answers and they are whoever is in front of us, that is the biggest disrespect we can have. If we think that we've got to fix their life or this situation, that's not support. Support is trusting that they're going to find their way. That's what they want to know, right? Sometimes they want answers from others, but mostly they want to be able to get out all the gunk so that they can rise up to the Christ itself that they've become and not believe in the limitations and lack that have an appearance in the world. Yes? That sometimes can feel like a big barricade. So having compassion for others is a wonderful gift. And I don't always do it perfectly. No. I have two sons and a husband that could verify that. And it but I'm really good at do-overs. How many of you like to do do-overs? Yeah, yeah. You know, we just don't get it right the first time. But what's great is that we could go back and we could say, you know, how I expressed myself that last time, that's not who I want to be. And I regret what I said. And so would you be willing to have that conversation again? Because I'd really like to share with you how I really feel and how I really see you. Isn't that a better conversation to have? So I did that with my kids and it's starting to come back to me, you know? Like, wow, that's really, really great, you know. And we're not perfect. It's not about perfection. It's about authenticity. It's about vulnerability. It's about being teachable, about being willing to be wrong. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. To not know how to do this. And I've done that as a parent. You know, something big comes up and I don't know what to do. One time I sort of pretended I knew. How many of you have done that? Yeah, that's not a good strategy. But you know how we're in our righteous indignation and judgment of who we're supposed to be, and we think we're supposed to have all the answers to every situation in that very moment. But what I found was my vulnerability was my gift about saying, wow, I found out this information. And that's very overwhelming to me. To be honest with you, I'm really not sure what to do or what the right answer is right now. I'm wondering if we'd like to take some time, you reflect on your behavior and me about what a natural consequence might be before we make any choices. How does that sound, right? Because I don't know how to do this thing always. That tomorrow class where the life operating manual, I wanted that when I was parenting. How many of you did that? It's like parenting, I think, was the most difficult thing we've signed up to do. We just thought we were going to have this beautiful child and love and adore it and change its diaper. And wow, the tasks just kept getting bigger, right? Wow. Mm-hmm. But that's how it is with life, you know. God gives us all we need in the moment, not way ahead of time. No, it's in the moment. So it's trusting that we have the right resources and the right information and the right knowledge. And it's right here, yes? Yeah, yeah. And there's nothing wrong with finding advice from family and friends. The problem with that is I usually get you after that, after you've gotten advice from 5 or 6 people, and then you're thoroughly confused, right? Well, this one said this, and this one said that, and this one said that, you know? And you'll find that if you come to me, I won't give you your answer, but I'll support you in finding it. Because to me, that's the greatest gift, is when someone can see in me something greater than I could in that moment. That's compassion. To be with someone in their humanness, to not label them and keep them boxed into a place of lack and not enoughness, or not able to manage life. To trust and know that even in this circumstance where there is an appearance of confusion and unclarity, that with some simple techniques, they'll find their way. And most of those techniques are getting out of this, yeah? It makes up stories, right? It just creates dramas. It creates something, you know, that is not useful in the world. And so navigating those thoughts is important. And so we have belief systems. I call it the BS that lives in us. That is not always useful. And so that's, you know, having practices that help us navigate life, navigate the illusion of lack and limitation or not enough information or not enough knowledge, and trusting in that infinite wisdom. So having compassion, I've got this sweet little story from, I can't say his name very well, Fiorello, how do you say that?
Fiorello.
Fiorello, oh, it's Italian, Fiorello. Fiorello LaGuardia, yeah. He was the New York, that's right, it's right, New York. New York mayor back in 1935. And he was a colorful character. Any of you remember him? I don't mean personally, but I mean, yeah, there we go. And so LaGuardia used to wear a little flower in his lapel, so they used to call him the little flower. He was sort of a short little guy, but he was so excited about life, and he just showed up in the most unusual ways. He would take an entire orphanage to a baseball game. You know, those kinds of things. He would drive around New York City and drive in the fire trucks, you know, when they would go out, and then he would go to the police stations and ride around with them, and he would break up these speakeasies, and then remember when the New York Times went on strike, he read the comics to the children on the radio. That's who he was. I mean, it was just, he was so flamboyant and so creative and so in the moment. You know, that wasn't in the manual. There was no manual of how to be a mayor, and these are the things that you do. He just showed up organically, you know, to say, this feels right to me. I love that. So there was one night in January, it's bitter cold in New York, and he decided to go down to the night court in one of the roughest parts of town, the poorest parts of town, and he gave the judge the night off. He said, why don't you go home and I'll finish up here. So, his first person was an old tattered woman, and she was sort of brought before him, and she was caught stealing a loaf of bread. And so she told LaGuardia that her daughter's husband had deserted her, and that her daughter was sick, and that her grandchildren were hungry. And that's why she took the bread. But the shopkeeper was pretty insistent on filing charges and refused to drop the charges and said, you know, we need to set an example here. She needs to be punished, you know, for what she's done. So LaGuardia sighed, okay, you know, one of those. And he turned to the woman and he said, you know, I have to punish you. I have to sentence you according to the law. There's no exceptions. So $10 or 10 days in jail. But even as he's speaking these words and these sentences, he's taking off his hat and reaching into his pocket and throwing some money into this hat. And he's saying, so here is the fine, which I now remit. And furthermore, I'm going to fine everyone in this courtroom 50 cents for living in a town where a person has to steal bread to feed their children. So, of course, everyone lovingly did that, including the grocer, right? And so what he did is he created this great experience of giving back to the world within the law, right? So we need laws. We need order. We need safety, and we need protection. But we don't want to lose our compassion. We don't want to lose our values, our standards for humanity. Yes? Yes. Yes. So it's a great reminder of, you know, not, you know, taking the letter of the law, of being with life at life's terms, being in the moment and having great compassion and staying within those parameters. So there's some beautiful words by Clarissa Pinkola Estes. It's a Buddhist teacher. She says, ours is not the task of fixing the entire world all at once, but of stretching out to mend the part of the world that is within our reach. Any small claim that one thing that one soul can do to help another soul, to assist some portion of this world will help immensely. It is not given to us to know which acts or by whom, which will cause the critical mass to tip toward an enduring good. What is needed for dramatic change is an accumulation of acts and spiritual consciousness, adding more, continuing. We know that it does not take everyone on earth to bring justice and peace, but only a small determined group who will not give up during the first, second, or 100th Gale. That's who we are, yes?
Yes.
This is what our way shower and teachers taught us, Martin Luther King and Gandhi and, of course, Jesus the Christ, is to stand in our truth, to have the courage and the willingness to act with nonviolence, to act with integrity, to be a spiritual warrior, to hold to our values, but to stand open and willing to listen to others. That's who I want to be. That even though you may disagree with my theology or my politics or my social activism, that we can still have a conversation. I could still hear your side without making you the enemy, without making you wrong. Yes? And that's what this class will be about for you and for me. It always deepens my own understanding of how I can speak in compassionate ways, because I don't want to lose that connection with you. That connection is more important to me than being right. Yes?
Yes.
And when that connection is more important than being right, then hearts will stay open. There will be a willingness at the table. And I love that saying, you know, when we come together to hear each other, are you willing to be changed by what you hear? Yeah. Yes? So we need to be willing to be changed by what we hear. Because I know those brothers and sisters that may be on the other side of the table from us are not evil. They just have a different strategy to meet the same human and spiritual needs that we all have, which are love and compassion and integrity and dignity for all, safety, justice, right? That we all have these basic, beautiful needs. And so the talking then is not about right and wrong and evil, but about strategies, how we go about getting to the end result. So if we could have our conversation there without belittling, criticizing, judging, but sharing our values, sharing what's important. That's what I want to learn with you on Tuesdays. So be there. Let's pray. Beloved Presence, we give thanks for this ministry. We give thanks for our unique expression of you through these teachings. We give thanks for Unity of Walnut Creek, that is a beacon of light for others to find their way in this spiritual journey. Thank you, God, for each one here. Thank you for the vision of this ministry and Unity Worldwide Ministries. We are each blessed and grateful to do our work, and we stand for truth and justice in the inherent worth of all human beings. Thank you. And so it is. Amen. God bless you. Thank you so much.